There was once a man who was a ruler of the Jews, John 3, verse 1. As the Bible describes this man, the text in the original uses some definite articles, that is, the word "the." If you were to look at John 3:10, in the original text, you would find that it says that this Jewish ruler was the teacher of the Israel. Nicodemus is the man described in John 3, and the Bible says he was not only a teacher in Israel, he was a leading teacher among God's people. This teacher came to Jesus, John 3:2, by night. And as Nicodemus came to the Lord, the Bible says that he was complimentary. Nicodemus addressed Jesus as Rabbi, a respectful title. He also said to Jesus, "We know that you are from God because of the signs that you're doing." Although Nicodemus was very complimentary of the Lord, Jesus brushed aside his comments. Rather than thank Nicodemus for his kind words, Jesus said this, John 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except one be born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, this single verse is filled with important information. The kingdom of God is where we want to be. It's where we must be. We need to be part of God's kingdom in this life, or else we're not going to be part of God's kingdom in eternity. Jesus in John 3 said that a person cannot be someone who has access to God's kingdom without a change. People cannot be a member of God's kingdom unless they are born anew. Jesus said the new birth is absolutely essential. And as Nicodemus heard this information, as he processed this information, he was confused. Notice verse 4. Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Well, after Nicodemus said what he did, after he expressed his confusion, Jesus went back to the new birth and expounded on it in verse 5. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except one be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Jesus in verse 5 not only again reaffirmed the need to be born anew, he told Nicodemus what the new birth requires. As we look at Jesus' reply to Nicodemus, we need to realize that they probably were words that were difficult for this man to hear. Consider what we find about Nicodemus in John chapter 3. The Bible tells us that this man was a Pharisee. He was, in this day and time, one of the religious elite. He was a noted teacher, and his specialty was not English or math or science or politics. This man, the Bible says, was a religious teacher. Now, there were some religious teachers in the first century who were involved with paganism, but that was not true for Nicodemus. As we mentioned earlier, he was the religious instructor for the Israel in the Greek text, the very people of God. Now, we would think that such a man would be one of God's finest people. Others, oh, sure, they might need to make some big changes in their life. Maybe others would need to be born anew. But Jesus turns to Nicodemus, and he says, "I want you to know, you, Nicodemus, you need to be born anew." The pronoun that's translated "thee" in verse 7 is singular. So Nicodemus was included. He was not excluded from the new birth. As Nicodemus heard these words, this must have been one of the most shocking things that he'd ever heard. Nicodemus, of course, was not able to be born anew on this particular day. It took some time before the new birth, described in John chapter 3, came into existence. The new birth is part of what we now refer to as the New Testament. And that New Testament did not come in force until after, of course, Jesus had died. But once a new birth was available, all who had sinned and were accountable for their acts had to be born anew. Nicodemus was probably very surprised at Jesus including him in the new birth. He may have also been surprised at the fact that Jesus said it requires water and the Spirit. You may or may not know that the Jews associated water with the Gentiles. Water was used in a ceremony to bring the Gentiles, to make them a proselyte, to bring them into the Jewish faith. So as Jesus talks to the teacher of the Israel, as Jesus talks to this Pharisee who is a leading teacher, he says to him, "I want you to know that you yourself need to have this water that is used on the Gentiles used in your life. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to see the kingdom of God. Unless you go through this new birth, you are not going to make it." Now, had we been Nicodemus, we probably would have said, "Wow, I need some time to think about that." Others, Jewish people in the first century, might have turned away in disgust. Now, we know that Nicodemus was surprised because in verse 7, just a few verses later, Jesus said, "Marvel not." He understood that Nicodemus was shocked by what was being said. Nicodemus' visit with Jesus turned this man's world upside down. Today, as we look at our world, we find that there are still people who struggle to accept the necessity of the new birth. Or we find some people who say, well, being born new, being born again, it's a good thing. Or maybe they would say it's something that we recommend. God strongly encourages it. But when we say, when we affirm that the new birth is 100% absolutely required for every single person who is guilty of sin, then some folks start to get uneasy and queasy. We are sometimes asked, well, what about the person who's never heard the gospel? Can't God, will not God save that individual? What did Jesus say? All must be born anew. If we're guilty of sin, whether we've heard the gospel or not, the new birth is necessary if we're going to be part of the kingdom of God. If God can, if God were to save those who are ignorant of sin, the people who are not born anew, then that would deny what Jesus says here in John 3, that all must be born again. Some believe that folks are going to go to heaven because they are a quote-unquote good person, or maybe because they were a God-fearing or a Bible-reading individual. We can be God-fearing, and we can be good in our eyes. We may read the scriptures on a regular basis, but not be born anew. If we are not born anew, the Bible says heaven is not going to be our home. People can attend a so-called Christian church for all of their life, but not be born anew. Others may do great works, and all of their family members may be individuals who have experienced a new birth. But if a person has not been born anew, Jesus says in the clearest possible way, folks are not going to make it. Notice again the words in verses 3 and 5. Jesus said, except ye are born anew. The New King James and the New American Standard say, unless you are born anew. Jesus here made a promise. We might say an ironclad guarantee. Without the new birth, those guilty of sin will be lost. Now, this is a hard truth for many to accept. It is a hard truth for some to live by. And it is such a difficult truth that some seek to deny it. Some deny the necessity of the new birth by referring to salvation as a faith alone experience. Well, the Bible speaks of faith alone, but it speaks of faith alone just one time. James used this expression, and he said that salvation is not by faith alone. We cannot be saved by faith alone because Jesus said we need a new birth. Faith alone is not sufficient for the new birth. The new birth means that we have to change. The Bible commands repentance of all people. Acts 17:30. All men everywhere are told to repent. If we're going to be born anew, we have to confess, we have to acknowledge Christ, as Paul described in 1 Timothy 6, verse 12. We need that new birth because it gives us a new spiritual father. We move from having the devil as our spiritual father to God. The information in John 3 is either the truth or it is a lie. There are no other choices. And unless we are prepared to say that Jesus was wrong, he told a lie, he's deceived us, then we must affirm like he did, that no one can be saved if he or she is accountable for our sins without the new birth. All right, if the new birth is absolutely essential, we should pause to ask what it is. What does it mean to be born anew? What does it mean for a person to be born again? Well, sometimes we hear those expressions used interchangeably. Some Bible translations will say, for example, born again. If you have the King James or the New King James or the New American Standard, you will see the translation born again. The American Standard that I read from this morning says born anew. Well, which is it? The word that Jesus used has a variety of meanings in the New Testament. If we want a definition that seems to cover everything that's involved, we might word it this way. Jesus says we need to be reborn. That's the first half of it. Not only do we need to be reborn, Jesus said we need to be reborn from above, not below. Reborn from above, reborn from God. Now, our world, as we look at it, often talks about things that are new. We may find a building that's been renovated. And after that renovation, or maybe after a house has been renovated, people say, I have a new house. We have a new office building. Well, not literally, but it's substantially new. Others will look at their life and say, we've turned over a new leaf. Things are new and different, and we have a new beginning. Well, Jesus said we do need that new birth. But he said for this birth to be truly new, it has to come from above. It has to come from God. It has to be from that divine source. In other words, there is no human organization or human individual that can give us this new meaning, this new birth. God is the one who gives us this new birth when we obey him. The new birth is described in several parts of the Bible. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul said that the person who is born anew, John 3, that person is a new creature. in Ephesians 2, verse 1. The person who has been born anew or born again, Paul said that person has now been made alive. In the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 1. The person who has been born anew, Paul there says, we've been raised up to live together with Christ. We've put on the new man once you've been born anew, Colossians 3:10. We are now someone who has been begotten of God, 1 John 3, verse 9. We are now an individual who has been justified by faith, Romans 5:1. We possess the divine wisdom, James 3, verse 17. And we are partakers of the divine nature, 2 Peter 1, verse 4. Jesus spoke about the new birth to help people be prepared for the system of religion that we now describe or know as Christianity. Here in John 3, 5, Jesus listed two things that are necessary for the new birth. He said water and spirit are both required. The two items in John 3 are not the only elements required for the new birth. As I mentioned a few moments ago, the Bible also talks about repentance in places like Acts 17:30, Luke 13:3, Acts 2:38. And the Bible also has some information about confessing Christ. Jesus did not need to list every single item here because he followed the same practice that we do. Oftentimes when we have a conversation with someone or we think about something, we do not include every single thing in the thought. For instance, suppose this afternoon someone says, I'm going to bake a cake, and this cake requires eggs. Well, is that statement true or false? That statement is true. Most cakes, at least the ones that we've made, do require eggs. But does that statement mean that only eggs are needed to make the cake? Well, obviously not. There are some other things involved. So the statement here in John chapter 3, two things are necessary for the new birth, water and spirit. But are there some things other than these two items that are also necessary? Yes. The Bible also, when we look at the whole subject, all the scriptures, we find that repentance and confession are also part of the package. Well, let's concentrate on the elements in John 3, 5. When Jesus said the new birth requires water and spirit, what did he mean? Oftentimes it's useful to look at some other passages in the Bible which are parallel verses, and we do have some parallel texts. In Ephesians 5, 25 and 26, Paul picks up with this same point and deals with the same two things that Jesus did in John chapter 3. In Ephesians 5, 25 and 26, the Bible talks about the washing of water with the word. Well, the washing of water in Ephesians 5, 25 and 26 is exactly parallel to being born of the water in John 3, verse 5. The quote-unquote word in Ephesians 5, 25 is exactly parallel with the word spirit in John 3, 5. People learn about the new birth through the word that was given by the Holy Spirit. When that word given by the Holy Spirit enters into that person's life and convicts that individual of sin, then that individual comes to the point where they realize that repentance and confession are also taught in the Spirit's word, and they need to be washed by water. The washing described in Ephesians 5 and John 3 is the final step in being born anew. Paul also talked about this in the book of Titus, chapter 3, verse 5. Here the apostle said that people are renewed by the Holy Spirit. Now you may have looked at this passage in the past and said, well, that seems to be a strange expression. What did Paul mean when he talked about being renewed by the Holy Spirit? If we're going to have the new birth, if we're going to be reborn from above, the Holy Spirit has to be involved. Well, how is the Holy Spirit going to renew people? How is the Holy Spirit going to allow people to be reborn? Well, the Bible tells us. The Spirit gave God's word. And in Romans 1:16, the Bible says that word, the scriptures, they are God's power to salvation. The Holy Spirit leads people to the truth through his word. And that same word convicts people of sin. That's why Jesus was able to compare in Matthew 13, Mark 4, and Luke chapter 8, the Holy Spirit and his work, as far as the scriptures are concerned, to a seed. The word of God is like a seed. That seed, that word of God, is put into a person's heart, and it begins to grow. As that word begins to grow, people look at their life and say, this is not the kind of life that's going to lead me to heaven. This is not the kind of life that's going to take me to the kingdom of God. Therefore, there is that desire to repent, to turn. And after people make that decision, they say, well, I now understand some things about Christ. I see that there is a need to turn to him and to follow him. The unsaved, when they have that understanding, are then washed. They are born of water. That's precisely what we see on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. In Acts 2, verse 37, after Peter had been inspired by the Holy Spirit to present the word of God, the Bible, as far as the New Testament, did not exist. Peter gave the word to the Spirit, And then, as the people were convicted by that information, verse 37, they cried out and said, "What must we do?" And Peter gave them the answer. They needed to repent. And then he talked about the need to be baptized. There's the water for the forgiveness of their sins. Now, as we look at our day and time, we find that there are some people who try to twist Jesus' words in John 3:5. There are some people who say, oh yes, born of spirit, and that is this mystical, that is this experience that we can't really explain. That doesn't line up with the scriptures. Others say that the water does not mean water. Some try to dehydrate John 3, verse 5. We find, as far as cases involving this, people saying, well, just say the sinner's prayer and be saved. Be baptized later. How can we reconcile that with John 3, 5, where Jesus said we've got to be born anew, born from above? And you've got the Spirit, and you've also got the water. Others talk about accepting Christ into the heart and being saved. Baptism, according to that view, is not required. That does not agree with John 3, verse 5. Jesus said we cannot be saved unless, except, we're born anew. We cannot be associated with the kingdom of God. We may know and believe that all who are accountable for their sins need to be born anew. But maybe that's not something that we've done. We need to take that step. We also, if we have taken that step, need to look at our lives and ask, when was the last time when we talked to someone that we know about being born anew? John 3, 3 through 5. When was the last time that we shared the news, the good news with someone, that the kingdom of God exists? God wants all people to be there. But for that to happen, we must be born anew. How long has it been since we asked someone, have you experienced the new birth? Well, it's an easy thing to do. We have tracts, videos. We certainly have God's word. And we can open up the scriptures and show people John 3, verse 5. Jesus said there is no spiritual hope unless we have this new birth. And once people come to that understanding, repentance, confession, and then being born of water, being baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sins, logically follow. As we go through our lives, let's be people who think about John 3, verses 3 through 5. We need that new birth in our life to be in a right relationship with God. And the people that we know as we see them, we need to remind ourselves that they too need to experience a new birth if they want to have the hope of heaven. This morning we trust that each one who is here is someone who has been born anew. The Spirit's word is something that you've had a chance to look at and you believe it. It really is from God. And because you believe it, you want to follow it to the best of your ability. With that desire, you've said no to the old way of life. You have said yes to Jesus. And to come into the kingdom of God, you've been baptized. You've been born of water, baptized into Christ, Galatians 3, verse 27, buried with Christ and then raised like he was raised on the third day from the dead, Romans 6, verses 1 through 4. For in one spirit, that is, again, through the teaching in the scriptures, have we all been baptized into one body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. Colossians 2, verse 12 says that we've been buried with him by or through baptism. Being born of the water is just as essential as every other step. If you've not done that this morning, we'd like to help you take that final step and become a child of God. If you have taken that step and you've wandered away, if you've headed back into the world this morning, we'd like to encourage you to reverse that choice. Or if you have become weak in your Christian life and we can strengthen you, we'd like to do that. We'd also like to offer the reminder that as we go out into the world today, tomorrow, in the days perhaps that God will allow us to continue to have in the future, let's talk about the new birth. It's the message of Christ. His message, it needs to be our message. If we can help you begin the way of life that starts with a new birth and you'd like to make that known to the people who are here, or we can put you back on the way of life associated with that path, will you let us know as we stand and sing the selected song?
I hear that welcome voice that calls me more to thee, Lord, cleansing in that precious blood that flowed on Calvary. I am coming, Lord, coming now to thee. Wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flowed on Calvary. Though coming weak and vile, thou dost my strength assure. Thou dost my vileness fully cleanse, till spotless all and pure. I am coming, Lord, come.
thee. Wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flowed on Calvary. 'Tis Jesus calls me on to perfect faith and love, to perfect hope and peace and trust for earth and heaven above. I am coming, Lord, coming now to thee. Wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flowed on Calvary.
Can you see it, please?